Thankful again this morning for the Lord's mercy and goodness to each one of us. We often say we're thankful, and there are things that we can identify with our eyes. We can see where the Lord has helped us, and sometimes I think about the things that we don't see, and events and the powers that exist around us, and the Lord has been merciful to us many times in ways that we cannot even quantify, because we don't even recognize it or see it. And I think sometimes if we could see the spiritual world, and if our eyes are open to that, and I think some people have a gifting of that as well, it causes us to have a measure of thankfulness and dependency on the Lord. Sometimes in our being naive or not fully understanding, I just think it's the Lord's mercy and His faithfulness that keeps us from a lot of the things that are around us. I have a thought on my heart this morning, and we're desperate for the Lord to anoint it with His Spirit and to anoint our hearts. One of the things that Brother Dan brought up in the first night of the meetings, he talked about the heart and the condition of our heart and ability to receive what the Lord has for us. And I meditated on that some even before this meeting. And any time that we have a revival or a time to consider where we stand, where we're at in life, what circumstances have arisen, the condition of where our heart is and where we stand before the Lord is of utmost concern. And Jesus gave us that parable talking about the good soil and the hard soil and the soil that gets full of the cares of life. And then there's the good soil that will receive the word. And much of the message that I feel like the Lord laid on our heart today deals with some of the cares and the things that will cause us to lose the depth that the Lord has for us. We live in a time, 2024, it's incredible to me the technology that exists and the speed and the quickness that we can achieve things and receive things. We don't have much patience any longer because we can have things just in a snap. And I think maybe where you all live here in the Midwest, maybe it's a little slower paced. Maybe not. But if you think back in time to have to grow your food and to have to prepare it and to preserve it and then assemble it and make it and eat it and clean up and on, there's just a whole sequence to just existing without all of the other things that life brings. And supposedly technology and the advances of time are supposed to make things easier, but I think it goes the other direction. And what we find is that we are facing a great surge or charging or electricity, maybe if you want to call it that, that affects our everyday life. And unfortunately, we only have the same amount of time in the day and the same attention span that we had when the Lord created us, but our environment has certainly changed. And I believe that the Lord's desire and His interest in walking with us and for us to be able to be effective and part of His kingdom has not changed, but our environment certainly has. And I don't think the spirits of the world have changed. I think that the same things that the Lord battled and the temptations and the trials that He faced were the same as we do. Sometimes it feels like the world is more evil now than it was in days past, and there could be some examples of that, I think. I remember when I was at the print shop, we were talking about the evil of that day, which was 25 years ago, something like that, a long time. And he mentioned to me, he said, well, the world has been evil and more evil than this in other times. And he was talking about in other times of history, the world was very, very dark. And it's true that there have been dark places throughout time. And the Lord has always desired to be able to have our hearts in a place where we can receive Him in spite of what exists around us. So I thought about the cares of life. We use that term very loosely. The responsibilities and the things that take up our time and our attention, and they will fill every part of it if you let it. If you've got weeds or you got things that are invasive, if you give them an inch, they will take every space that you'll give it. They will grow and cover everything. And it takes an active effort to clean that and to restore it and to keep it in a good way, or in a way that maybe is beautiful or proper or useful. And I thought about the cares and the things that we can get filled up in. I thought about some of the messes of life. And unfortunately, because of our choices, sometimes we can find ourselves in situations that are very hard to get out of. That circumstances and maybe the result or the effect has a great weight and a great measure. And it's not always bad. We say choices, and whenever we say that, we think bad choices. But there's often even good intention. And desire to do what is good can still start to create a great burden or an environment where I'm greatly burdened, have more on me than I can handle to a certain extent. I think even about young families, and I love to hear the babies and the sounds. And I know, having raised four children, you feel conspicuous sometimes. And why am I even here? Because I can't hear or understand or hear anything because I'm having to chase one after another. There's a lot of things that aren't even our fault that cause us to have a lot of responsibility and a lot of things that just fill our mind and our time. And there are things that need to be done that aren't necessarily I've done something wrong. It's just my day is full. And just to finish that thought, the best place to be is in service in that case. And I have a loud voice. We have a microphone. I can talk over any crying baby. I'm not worried about it. And I don't think anybody else is. And you realize that as you get older, I think, that it's a beautiful sound. And the saddest sound is a congregation that's just dead still. And there's no books falling on the ground. And there's no crying. And there's no hollering. And there's no going in and out and back. I love it. I think the Lord loves it. And in fact, if you go back and look, when they were with the disciples, the children were playing and they were, oh, let's get them out of here. The master is it. And he told them, unless you become as these children, you can't enter into my kingdom. So we love that sound. And I just want to encourage us this morning that even with our, we'll call them duties that we have to do, that the Lord understands that. And it's part of our service to him and even our fellowship together. But I thought about those messes, and I say messes because if you can have one child, you can have four, you can have 10, you can just be only the two of you married, you can live by yourself and there's messes everywhere. But life gets messy. It gets where things are not just organized. And I'll tell you this morning that if you expect your life to always fit in boxes and just sit on the shelf in a perfect order, you're in for a rude awakening, because it doesn't work like that. If it's like that, then you've got some cold places that you're going to have to work through, if that's what your life looks like. The Lord wants to bring some warmth, and sometimes there's messes in warmth. There's warmth in messes, maybe I'll put it that way. But I thought about our humanity in that, and whatever our situation is, wherever we find ourselves, whether it's because the cares of life and the things that have come upon us are more than we can bear, whether it's by good choices or bad choices. My thought process this morning, the inspiration, is I think about how the Lord looks on that and his desire. And I think of the heart of God in that sense. He created us like he did. He created us with desires, with ambition. He taught us, I think about in the garden when he created it, he told us to go forth, to multiply. He told us to have dominion over the earth. Everything that we do is a result of that. The fact that we could fly on an airplane here is because God gave men dominion over earth. The fact that we can control a huge metal tube and fly it in the air is because of what God put in place. But with that comes all of the extra effort, or all of the overcharging, or the response. Just it life just becomes full. And then I think about the heart of God and what his desire is. And when I go back to the beginning of time and I think about the Garden of Eden, creating this garden that they didn't have to tend at that time, they didn't have to have the toil of the ground. And they're naming things in the cool of the evening to walk with him and to spend time with him, that this was his desire, This is the heart of God to create us was to have communion and companionship with Him. It's what He wants. And everything in life that we deal with, at the heart, the Lord wants to be a part of that. He wants to be our companion and to be our friend, no matter what it is that our life is full of. The Lord wants to walk that path with us. And any time that we begin to feel as if we're alone, as if we have no recourse, as if we are battling things all by ourselves, there is an answer. There is one that wants to walk that road with us through every decision, every choice, every result of those choices and decisions, and sometimes surprises that come. The Lord wants to walk with us in those places. I want to read in Matthew in the 11th chapter. And we can take this scripture a number of different ways. But in the 28th verse of the 11th chapter, He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In this, I see the heart of God that is demonstrated. It would be something to be able to see people like Jesus did. For Him to be able to look upon a crowd and to see people and to be able to see into their hearts and into their lives. I wouldn't want it. If you have empathy in you, that is not something that you would wish for, because the weight of it would be too much. If I were able to, and we can look at each other and you can get an idea of where we are. Sometimes eyes are hooded. You can see a lot into a person when you look into their eyes. But I think about the Lord and His ability to look on us. And we think of Him in the flesh doing this. But of course, all things are naked and open before Him. But in the multitudes that He was in, we see the compassion of Christ often, because as He looked on the people, He could actually see what their needs were beyond even the outward things, but the things that were in the heart, the things that were hidden, the things that were the tears that are cried in the background when no one else can see. And to be able to perceive that, understand it, and know it, for me, I think had to be one of the biggest burdens that the Lord had to carry. I can't think of any other. You think about the power that He had in the universe and the ability for Him to change anything if He wanted to. And when you think about the miracles in the Old Testament, the sun standing still, hail falling out of the sky, all the power that stands in the hand of God, He can change anything that He wants to. He can decide to change our weather in a moment. He's done it for me, and I think He's probably done it for you. And this demonstration is His power and His capability. He's omnipotent. He has that in His hands. But when He looks on us as people, He cannot force us to receive what He has for us. And to be able to know that I don't know that there would be any greater sorrow or stress than to look on someone and to see the need in their life and to have the answer for it, and for someone to say, "I don't want it," or to not accept it. You would do everything in your power to try to convince them that this is exactly what it is that you need to be able to answer the pain, the difficulty, the tiredness, the overweight, the things that are just too heavy to carry. It would be in His heart to try to impress upon us. And there's something to that. I'll just say for a minute that the long suffering and the mercy of God. I think sometimes we feel like the Lord has this short amount of span, and we worry sometimes that somehow I'm going to exhaust. And I'm not telling us to live away from the Lord, but my point is that I rely on the Lord's faithfulness and mercy. I expect that whatever choices and decisions, the Lord is not going to turn loose of me. That I'm doing everything that I can with all of my heart. And as I find myself in places, it's often a great comfort to know that the Lord is not a short measure of attention span, where He looks and says, "Oh, there's Ken. Look where he's at. He did it to himself again. Well, I'm just done with him at this point." I rely on His mercy. If it were up to just my being able to perform exactly every time, the Lord would, He'd be done with me a long time ago. So there is a dependency on the long suffering and the mercy of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. And when I think about him as he began to share this with his disciples, this impressing or this the burden of his heart was that he was bringing something that would change their life. When it says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," it means fatigued. It means having so much that I can't carry it any longer. And we can use this verse for those that aren't close to the Lord. If I've lived my life by my own choices, sin will wear you out. It gets you to the point that you can't face another day, that you feel the pressure and the strain and the stress and the heartache. And it eventually just drives us right down to the ground where we live in a place of despair and darkness. There's no hope in those places. And we have to come to that broken place where, you know what, I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of the decisions and the choices that I made. And this is still the call of the Lord, is that come unto me. If you're tired, if you finally reached your limit, and I have the answer for that, and I'm thankful for that beginning point, but I have found in my life that the Lord has had to have this call time and time again, that I find myself, and it can be, part of my burden this morning is, it can be things that are even good that the Lord has given me, things that he's put in my hands, responsibilities and burdens that he's given. And in my zeal and my desire to do what the Lord wants, I can begin to carry those things in my own strength. I can begin to try to walk and to carry and to bear the load, and it's not possible. And I get under that. You can get under the burden of even the things that the Lord has placed in our life for us to have a care about, and he still has the same call. Come unto me. He is our source and the strength and the one that is able to carry the burdens that even we have a part in. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, that are working, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When he talks about take my yoke upon you, you wouldn't think in a natural sense that taking, if I'm going to exchange one yoke for another. But I don't know if I have a big brother. He's a lot bigger than I am. He's a lot stronger than I am. And I remember one time I had a transmission. It's when I lived here that I couldn't get fixed in the car. And I couldn't get it in there, and I fought it, and I finally called my big brother to come help me. And we laid under that car, and he was much stronger than I was. I was much skinnier back then. And we pushed that transmission, and we fought it for a while. But there was someone that I needed with me in order to accomplish that work. On my own, I didn't have the right leverage. I didn't have the right strength. But with my big brother by my side, it caused a change. We were able to get it in place and able to use that car. And I thought about that in this sense, that as we go through life, you're going to face difficult things. But on my own, it's impossible. But when I have the yoke of the Lord, when we have this journey together, it changes this distribution considerably. And I believe that it doesn't matter what situation, what affliction, what challenge that we face in life, that I'm dependent on him to carry the weight and the load of those things. In my faithfulness, even of Lord, I want to be faithful to you in every part where you've called me. I'm still entirely dependent on his grace, on his strength. I need him to carry that weight and to bear it. I thought about some of the things that weigh us down, and I had a vision in my head of someone that was carrying a bag on their back, and I believe that all of us as humans, that we carry things in life. We carry things with us. We talked a little bit last night about loving our neighbor and dealing with offenses. But through circumstances, through everything that we encounter in life, we carry things with us. It's inevitable because we're human. And when things happen, I take a part of that, and it kind of goes in my bag, if you can follow me in this visual. And I carry that in my bag, and then I go a little bit further, and I'm going to go through some other things, and I pick up some stones from those places, and they go in my bag. And then I have maybe some responsibility. I feel like the Lord wants me to do this, and I'm going to pick these things up, and they're in my bag. And then I go a little bit further, and now I've got children, and I've got responsibility at home, and well, there's some more stones in the bag. Got to put them in there. And then someone has a need, and I feel like the Lord wants me to help. And so I'm over here and I'm helping, and I've got a few more stones in the bag. And before long, the weight of that is more than we can carry. the weight of what we can take on ourselves can be so much that it crushes us down when we do it in our own strength. And sometimes I have to go before the Lord and I have to take that bag and I have to open it up and I have to pour those things out. I have to think about it. What is it that causes my brow to be furrowed? What is it that's causing me to be so tired or so in a place where I feel like I just can't go another day, or that I'm desperate for the day to end? We can get in a place where I'm just so overcome or overwhelmed. I've had an interesting experience. We've been building a business out there and we have a lot of family that works there. And when we started, there was like 5 or 6 of us, just a handful. And we had some sales and we had some cash flow. And I always remember thinking, I can't wait until this business is bigger, more successful. It'll be less stressful when we have a little more turnover and a few more customers. And now we have, 30 some people that work there. The turnover is a lot more. And you know what? You stress every day now about how do I keep this going? And it doesn't change. It's not like you reach some level in life where suddenly I have things organized in such a way that now I'm stress-free, so to speak. I don't find that life seasons are like that. And I even if we're a young family or whatever part we're in, the things of life will always be there if we try to carry them in our own strength. If it's by our own power and our own will and our own determination, I'm dependent on the Lord. And I think about when the Lord has that desire or the heart of the Lord towards us to carry those things. And if you ever had the attitude, if someone wants to help you, you're like, no, I got it. I can handle it. And there's kind of that little bit of an independent, yeah, I can take care of this. I don't need you to do that for me. I've got it. And then we're struggling and our hands are so full and it's just almost impossible. But I got it. I got it. Usually when I find myself like that, there's something inside of me that is rising up a little bit. There's a lot of kin in that when I'm at the place where it's like, I got it. I got it. I got it. When I find myself humbling myself before the Lord, recognizing that my dependency and my reliance is on Him, there becomes a rest and a freedom that, Lord, these things are yours. You may have put them in my hands. Some things are God-given responsibilities, but they're really the Lord's. They really are. The brother was sharing in Sunday school about wanting to do all for the Lord and to have that burden. We think of it as a sacrifice, giving all to the Lord. Everything in my life, I want to do everything for the Lord. I want to have a full consecration to Him. And in our mind, what we think about is what we have to give up. We think of it in terms of sacrifice. But the reality is that it's the greatest treasure. It's the answer to the joy and the peace in our life. Is when we truly give our all to the Lord, it means everything that's in my bag and in my life is His. It's His to deal with. It's His to answer. It's His to direct. And in that, there comes a rest and a freedom that the Lord is able to lead and to guide. I'm someone that likes to have things my way. Maybe you're like that too. I can manipulate. I know my own self. I can try to work things around in an order to fit it how I like it. And it's a natural tendency, I think, of humanity that I want things to be comfortable for me, and so I'll work things in that way. It's one of the most stressful ways to live your life, because you can't make people do what they don't want to do. You can't change people's minds or opinions. You can't force things to fit where they don't fit. And there comes a time when you have to say, okay, Lord, I'm not going to put my hands on it anymore. I'm going to give this to You and allow You to work as You see fit. I'm bringing the things that fatigue me and cause me to be burdened, and I'm putting it in Your hands. And if You, Lord, however You decide for this to be worked, I'm going to be happy with it. I'm going to be thankful. I'll fill that place that You have for me and accept it. And in that, there comes a relief and a rest that's in the Lord. He has a job for us for sure. He has things for us to do. We have work to do. But that work is part, it's His work. It's not our work. It's not something that I am doing or I am accomplishing. There's another part of this that when the Lord gives us that work and we find ourselves not finding the result that we want, when we feel like people didn't appreciate it, when you feel like you put forth effort and it's like, well, no one even said that was nice. And you go home and you're hanging your head down and you think, I did all that and just nobody even cared about it. There's also a rest in saying, well, Lord, I did it for you. All that that burden that you gave me and I did the best I could, the Lord sees it and he understands. People might not appreciate it or understand it, but there's a rest and a peace in our communion and our work with the Lord. It'll also save us from when there is maybe some good results and somebody says, oh, you did such a good job. Then you can know, yeah, it wasn't me, because I've been there the times when it just fell flat and it didn't work out very well at all. And I'm happy to give it to the Lord then. Oh, it's the Lord's work. I just tried to do what I could. Whatever the results are, whatever the outcome, I can hand it. I can give it to him. It's his. And I feel like this applies in every part. Even when I think about raising our children and that we do the best we can, my dependency is still on him. I've seen cases and I know of people that you can have two children raised in the same home and one goes one direction and one goes another. And you can bear the weight of that if you're not careful. To recognize that I have to give those things to the Lord, that it's him to do the work and to make the change. And I want to be faithful to him. But those things, they will bear down and they will cause us to have a fatigue and a weight where the next day or the next hour is almost more than I can take. The Lord has that in his heart where he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When he says, take his yoke upon him and learn of me, he says, for I am meek and lowly. This meekness and humility that the Lord demonstrated is the answer every single time. It is. It's the example that he left. We think about how he came to earth, came in a manger, came in a barn, came and was born with the animals, wasn't in great pomp or circumstance. It wasn't with great fanfare or demonstration, demonstrated to those that were faithful, but it wasn't in the world's terms of something that was demonstrated with great element. We think about when he rode in on Palm Sunday. It wasn't on a horse. It was on a donkey. It's always in the same measure. Come and learn of me. I am meek and lowly, gentle and humbleness of mind. This dependency, again, that goes back to the Lord is going to be the key that opens those places in our life. Whatever they are, whatever those cares, whatever the burden, whatever the responsibilities, it's in our meekness and humility before the Lord that we find the rest, where we find his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There are a lot of yokes that we can take up. I think about the burden of men. I think about the burdens of this world. I think about the things that we can, that people will put on themselves, the pressure that they will put, the kind of, where they feel like they've got to accomplish so many different things and they will drive and drive and drive and the burden of that. And then you talk about burnout, you talk about fatigue, and you talk about all of that just crumbling to nothing. The Lord has something for us that sustains us and carries us in his work. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. And we think about some of the challenges that we go through and we think, how is that easier? How is that light? And the only way that it is easy and light is as we allow the Lord to be the one that carries that weight. Lord, it's yours. I couldn't carry my life without you, and I certainly can't carry my life with you. If I were to make my own choices, I would find myself at my wit's end, and even in my desire to serve you, I'm still fully dependent on you to carry the load and the weight of the things that we encounter. I think sometimes we get ourselves in a place of trouble. I thought of in John and in the 21st chapter, Peter, he had some thoughts about how things should be. In 21st verse, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And I think about Peter in this sense. He picked up something to carry that wasn't his to carry. he picked up a weight and a burden that wasn't his to deal with. He was concerned about, what are they doing? What is this disciple doing? What would you have him do? His thought process was no longer on what the Lord has for me, but now I think about the stones in his sack at that point. Some things that he put in there that were not for him to carry. And the Lord responded to him. He said, Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. It was I feel like it was a sharp reprimand that he gave Peter in this place. Told him that, what is it to you? If I allow him to tarry, and they took this in a couple different ways, but his point was, if it's whatever my will is for him, that's my will for him. And I have to realize then that my dependency or my calling is that I want to follow after the Lord and to be faithful in the things that he puts in my life. And it's not up for me to worry about what this one or that one or this one, what are they doing, and what are they carrying their load? Are they doing their responsibility? Usually the Lord's going to tell us, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Put your trust in me. Put your confidence in me. Bring those things that cause you to have such a burden and put them in my hands. Let me carry them. Let me worry about that, in a sense. And I think there is a great consolation in that some of the things that really worry us and cause us to think about that, and worry is usually something that I can't fully identify. It abides in the shadows. It's often things that I can't fully see, and so I perceive maybe it's this or maybe it's that. A lot of fear is that way. And I have to realize I have to let the Lord worry about that part. He's called me to this, and then I think about, well, what about all of these other things then? And I have to be willing to say, I'm going to let the Lord worry about that part. I'm going to be faithful to where he's called me, and these things, they're the Lord's. However he decides, he will work it as he sees fit according to his will, and that has to be good enough for me. I have to be willing to submit to that. It happened to Martha too. If you look in Luke and in the 10th chapter, and in the 38th verse, it says, now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much, serving. It says cumbered about. Do you think she was in the wrong? She saw a need and she was filling it. It was with well intention and desire. Here's something that needs to be done, and I feel like it's necessary, but she was so encumbered with what she saw as the needs that needed to be done, she missed something. She missed out on what the Lord was bringing, and it was so full of duty and responsibility. Cumbered about much with serving, and she came to him, and she complained to the Lord and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I've had those thoughts before. Do you not care that I'm the only one that's doing all of this? Does that sound familiar sometimes? Do you not care I'm the only one that is doing what I know? Come on now. Can you tell her? Can you make her do a little bit more? Do you even care that she's left me to do all the work? Usually when we challenge the Lord, we don't get the answer that we're looking for. It's usually not Ken, you're right, I'm sorry, I'll go get them and put them in their place. Doesn't pat me on the head. Instead, he causes us to have our mind changed. And that's what he did for her. He said, she had chosen the good part. She has this time and opportunity with me that she's not going to have otherwise. And I think if you saw it in that sense, and I mean... we spent some time in Emily's house, and their house is a mess, unfortunately, and we're all leaving. And I told her, I'm sorry we left a mess, but I really don't care, because I wanted to spend time together, and it was more important to me than remaking the bed and folding the towels. There'll be time for that later. She chose the good part. And I want to encourage you, especially if you're young families, you have children, choose the good part. You're not going to care 20 years from now whether all the shoes were all in the right order and whether everything, it's not going to matter. You want to choose the good part. Lord, I want to be where you are in your presence and with you. And then I'm going to receive that blessing. And there's time for work. There's time for our responsibilities. But when they become so encumbered that I'm just, it's a weight, then I've missed something. Even in my work for the Lord, when it becomes a weight, Lord, help me to be able to put that weight on you, to be able to say, Lord, this is your work. It's a joy to serve the Lord. And sometimes I have to think about what it was like in the beginning. And in this thought and in this inspiration, we're all in different places. But when we first get saved, you think about the lightness and the freedom that was in our heart. And in places where he has revived us and restored us, we feel like we're in a wide open place, that the potential is so wide and the Lord could do anything. And then life happens and we get to a place where I just feel totally closed in. It just feels as if everything presses down. And it's because I've taken so many things on. And the Lord wants us to come back to a place where there's a refreshing and a renewing, a replenishing, where I can breathe. I can take a breath and I can rest and realize that it's not all up to me. Do you realize that? That the Lord has a power and ability to do a work, and it's not always dependent on me. I don't have to be the one that does it every single time. Now again, the Lord has a calling for us. I don't expect any of you are just going to say, okay, fine, I'm not doing anything any longer. Usually our tendency is in the other direction. Lord, help me to realize that the places that you've called us are yours. That he wants us to be able to have a joy in his service. That there is a pleasure in the things that we do for the Lord. He brought that out in Sunday school. And what went through my head was the difference between duty and a willing heart. And we understand sometimes we do things out of duty. We do them because we have to. And we're faithful to that. And there are places in there. But when that begins to be my work and my service for the Lord, I've missed the good part. Lord, you have something for me that satisfies. And do you know that I think that is part of it, is that when our contentment and the things that bring us fulfillment, the things that cause us to feel as if I've accomplished something, the result that we're looking for, how do we quantify whether we've done a good job or not? We have expectations. We have ideas in our head. We have a fairy tale complex sometimes. We talk about that at home, or we have this ideal of how everything's going to be. It usually doesn't match that. It usually doesn't meet the fairy tale complex. But there is a good part that the Lord has that satisfies. And when we begin to find the grace of the Lord, we find his peace. We find the things that he's doing, then I realize that the Lord's work has been done. And whether it's reached the levels that I think in my humanity would have been just right, I have to leave those things with the Lord and recognize that what he's done in our heart is really the measure of success. Where is my heart before the Lord? And am I satisfied? Am I content? Do I find that in my service to him, it is what's sweet to me? This is, to me, the measuring then. Lord, it's sweet to me, and even this morning as I share this message and I sweat and I feel pressure and I think, well, am I doing a good job, or Lord, where am I at? It's sweet to me. I'm happy to serve him. And if it doesn't meet my ideal and people go home disappointed thinking, oh, we wasted our time going to Oklahoma City this morning. You know what? I love the Lord and I'm glad to serve him this morning. And any message or thought is his anyway. I'm not stressed about it anymore. Whether it's good or it's bad, praise the Lord. I hope he blesses your heart. It's that you see in our service to the Lord, it's not, it doesn't have to meet, oh, there weren't 100 people here this morning. Well, that was just a waste of time. Oh, nobody went to the altar today. I guess I must have missed it. I must not have done a good job. If you have these expectations that this is what it means, it's going to be in your service to the Lord where we find that rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Lord, this is your work. I can't see everything that you can. I want to be faithful where you put me, and it's a joy to do those things for you. And however you choose to do with that, I wonder, when Jesus had compassion on the 5,000 and the little boy had the loaves and fishes, I wonder how happy he was to bring that. He brought lunch for himself. And they said, oh, let us have that. What am I going to eat? There would have been a lot of questions. Now, what resulted from that was, I'm sure he was amazed, as they all were. But there comes a place where we have to be willing to say, well, okay, I don't know how it's going to work out. I felt like this was just for me, but I'm going to give it to the Lord. And the result is as he sees fit. What about the widow with the cruse of oil? I've gotten just enough for me and my child, and we're going to die. And the prophet says, go and bake me a cake first. Okay, Lord, I'm willing. It means I feel like I'm going to go without. It means I'm not going to feed my child. But okay, Lord, I'll obey you. My service is to you. And then we find that's where the blessing of the Lord rests. It's where we find the sweetness of his spirit in our life. Luke, and in the 21st chapter, in the 34th verse, it says, and take heed to yourselves. That means to check, to be diligent. And that's what we want to do in these kinds of meetings is, Lord, I want you to search me. Yes. I want to take heed. I want to be careful. And we think, oh, revelings and drunkenness, that's not me. I'm not drunk. Surfeiting in this place, it means to be have a headache from gluttony. We think of, oh, you think of a, I can't think of the word. When you drink too much. Hangover. That's what I was looking for. You think of a hangover. It's a headache from gluttony. And we, when you think about that, you just think about alcohol. But you cannot drink alcohol and have a headache from gluttony every day of your life. You can take so much on that you, that every day is just, it's just more of the same. And I have a headache. And when you have that headache, you want it to be dark. I've never been drunk, so I don't really know. But I know what people have said. But you want it dark. There's things that you take to try to mitigate the pain, and you try to get through it. And usually what they do is they want something else to drink to take the edge off of the headache. And that's what this is talking about, is that as we go through life, if there's so many things that have cluttered my life, I start to have a headache from that. And it changes. It affects our effectiveness. And so he says, take heed to yourself. And he's talking, I think, about in our society, in our day and time, what's available to us? What can you take into yourself? How much of it is there? Is there any limit to it? There isn't, actually. You can take as much in as you can possibly handle, and there'll be more. In your mind, in your life, in your space, in what you put around it, you can fill yourself, and there's still more if you'll take it. You'll live with a headache. The gluttony of it will cause you to lose your bearing and your effectiveness, and it just starts a downward spiral. And what you find yourself doing is, I just need a little bit more to take the edge off of my headache. And it's a horrible spiral and cycle. Take heed to yourself that you not be overcharged with this. And drunkenness, he says, and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. That's the part that scares me then. Is if I live in that funk, in that rut of that place of where my mind isn't clear, where I have an openness of my eyes and a vision to be able to see, and I know where I am and I know where I'm headed and I have an anticipation, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's here already. We call it game brain in our house. If you play too many games, you get game brain. The eyes get glassy. And you can't, they don't communicate very well. And it's like, yep, you've played too many games. You've got game brain. It's a fact. And I'll do it at work sometimes. If I have too much computer time, your eyes get glassy. I can't think straight. The Lord wants us to be careful that that day does not creep on us unawares. So my burden is this morning is that the Lord has a rest and a peace for us in every place that we are in life. We have responsibilities. We have things that matter, that are important, that we have to care for. But we have to give those things to the Lord. Our service to them has to be unto him. He said to cast in Psalms, he talks about, cast your burden upon me and I'll sustain you. The sustainment. We think about his mercies being renewed every morning. I'm so dependent on that, that the burdens of life and some of the things that I have to carry that are not, that I maybe can't just get rid of, that I have to cast those on the Lord. I have to put those on Him for my own sustainment. I can't carry them on my own. Think of here in John and in the 10th chapter. You ever wondered why Jesus referred to us as sheep? Do sheep carry burdens? Are they donkeys? Are they burros? Okay, the Lord gives us burdens, don't get me wrong, that we carry. But when I see this vision of the Lord where He says in the 10th chapter of John, where He says, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. There's a freedom. There's a liberty. And then He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is the heart of the shepherd. And it causes me to have an anticipation that whatever pasture, whatever area that he's placed in my life, that it's something He's prepared for me to live in and to habitate. There's a saying called a cast sheep. And a cast sheep is one that's eaten something that's made him sick. And they can't help themselves. And a lot of times they're laying on their side and they can't stand up. And they'll die in that place. You ever seen the image of the shepherd with the sheep around his neck? Do you know why that is? It's a cast sheep. Because they rub their belly and then they put them around their neck until they're well. And I don't know that much about sheep, but I did find that out. And I found it inspiring because it means that my dependency on the Lord, even when I find myself have gotten gluttonous, if you want to call it that, I need the Lord to rub my belly. I need Him to take that stomach, and sometimes I need Him to just put me around His neck and to carry me. And that's the heart of the shepherd. So when we find ourselves in that place, Lord, I need You to save me from myself to an extent. I need You to carry the responsibilities and the burdens that they're Yours. You put me in this place to eat and to live. And you think of Psalms 23. You think of the blessings of the shepherd, of what He's made. And then I've turned it into a factory. I've turned it into a workplace that's just, I have nothing for my, I'm just so worn out. And there are a lot of things that wear on us. But you have to learn to give those things to the Lord, to find the rest that's in that. Psalms 146. All right. We'll save some words for this afternoon. Psalms 146. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. I want us to know this morning that our true help, it comes from God. There are a lot of crutches in this life and things that we can use to kind of get us through places. But the Lord is the one that has the true help. Our trust is not in the philosophies or in the ideas of men, but it's in the Lord. And that's where this praise that comes from our heart, that, Lord, You are the one that's carried me. You are the one that is my source of strength, my peace. You're everything to me. And so it just begins to bubble up within us. It says here, it talks about man, his breath goeth forth, returneth to the earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish. In another place, it basically says a man is but a vapor. Our life is but a moment on this earth. It doesn't last a long time. And you take our breath, it returns to the earth, and our thoughts end at that moment. All those thoughts and those things that were such a burden, they aren't anymore. They don't exist any longer in that sense. The care, and when I think about that, it's like all the things that I'm stressed about of this world, they don't go past the grave. They don't. When we go to heaven, you're not going to be worried or stressed about what went on in your lifespan in the earth. The thoughts are over at that point. So it's then we realize that our help is in the Lord, and the things that really matter, that are lasting, these are the things that I want to be under burden for God. Happy is he that hath got the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is therein or therein is, which keepeth fruit forever, keepeth the truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Lord, open the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise the Lord. That tells me that whatever my walk in life is, that my dependency is upon the God of Jacob, the one that keeps the truth forever. This is what we press into. If I'm stressed about anything, I'm stressed about giving everything in my life to the Lord. That's the pressure that I want to feel, is that whatever responsibilities or places that you've given me, whatever burdens, I'm pressed to put them on you, to rely on you, to make my dependency upon you. The one, and I love that he brings out here the heaven and the earth and the sea, because those things inspire us to the greatness and the faithfulness of God, his capability. He talks about setting the prisoner free. And if you go to Luke and in the fourth chapter, this really was Jesus' message. It was the heart of his ministry. It was the fulfillment of the prophecy. In the 18th verse, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." This is the heart of the shepherd. And I had this thought, is that the Lord come to bring that, and then how many times do I put myself back in that situation? And I don't mean back in sin. I mean I feel like I'm a prisoner, or I feel like I'm bound, or I'm bruised. And the Lord brought something, an abundant life for us, was the end of that verse in 10 that we didn't read, after the thief kills to steal and destroy, but I have come to give them an abundant life. And that's the Lord's desire, is to fulfill and to bring that contentment, that abundant life. And then, oh Lord, I'm so thankful for it. And then I find myself in all the walls and I'm bruised and I'm, where's it at? Lord, help us to cast ourselves upon him. If the enemy has you in a prison, if he has you in a place where you've lost your joy, he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll carry that for you." He's able to open those doors again and again. We find out that those bars or those things we thought were so heavy or so restrictive or meant, it changes our perspective. When we get the mind of the Lord, it changes our perspective. The way that we viewed and saw things that used to be our burden and the things becomes our blessing, becomes the thing that really brings us a pleasure and a joy in the Lord. If you're heavy or you're tired or you're fatigued this morning, the Lord has a rest for you.